Now, if you don't have any pride, then if you're a Sambo, then you can go along with that. Let me make one comment.
Go ahead, sir.
What you're saying about that statue is typical of the type of blacks that we have working in this administration under this current mayor.
Uh-oh.
They operate, those blacks who are working in this administration, they operate with that same concept that the statue exemplified.
Well, I tell you what.
We don't need that.
Well, I tell you what. I want to thank, of course, ex-councilman and president of the Nacogdoches Citizens League, my good friend, although I have not met him in person, Mr. Robert Jackson. God bless you for all your work. And right now, Mr. Jackson, you have been...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You have been fighting this fight for way too long. You need to be at the part of your career where you're sitting back watching some younger people take over the reins in Nacogdoches and speak up for what's right. Why are you not sitting down somewhere watching younger people doing this?
Because the interest level at this particular time is too low in our community.
Well, I tell you and what. Go ahead, sir.
And also, that internal fear. That internal fear exists in some of us.
They still scared.
That slave mentality, that plantation mentality.
There it is.
And also in the other factor, in our community this day and time,
mm-hmm.
there's too much individualism.
Yeah.
You know, I got mine, don't worry. But all of us, every one of us of color, is looked upon as being at the same stature. When it comes to the system in this community.
Well, we're going to call Mr. Jackson on all the righteous people of Louisiana who are just sick and tired when we hear justice of the peace down there who won't marry blacks to whites down there in Hammond, Louisiana. When we hear about 73-year-old Bernard Monroe Sr. up in Homer being shot down like a dog on his front porch, a man who had a trachea in his throat. When we hear the story right here in Colfax, Louisiana, about the black man being shot 5 times in the back by a police officer who had been fired from a previous job where he was a jailer. When we hear stories of 21-year-old Baron Scooter Pikes being tased 9 times, 50,000 votes, 5 minutes after he was read his rights, the Miranda rights, and handcuffed, defensive, and being tased to death, according to the coroner, who was a white guy for some 30 years there in Wynn Parish. We say here in Louisiana, we have a major problem, and it is time for righteous folk to stand up and to speak up for what's right and to start exposing this stuff and stop being scared. Because if you're scared, say you're scared, move out of the way and get somebody else up here who's not scared. God bless you. And we're going to join you.
Can I say one other thing?
Go ahead, sir.
Before we close?
Yes, sir.
Number one, I like for someone to come into Nacogdoches and do a one-on-one with me so I can identify and pinpoint all this injustice that exists because it's camouflaged. I've tried on several times. I've sent certified letters to the Arizona Daily Times.
Oh, wow.
To send someone up here to do an interview with me, and if someone along the line is getting interceded somewhere. This exposure. I don't have no problem talking whoever comes. You know, I don't have that internal fear.
Well, I tell you God didn't give us the spirit of fear. And the bottom line is those who are afraid, I'll say again, say you're afraid and get out of the way. And make room for some people who aren't afraid, who's going to speak out. And speak out for those who can't speak for themselves or who otherwise are still afraid, what he said, that slave mentality, that, of course, they're going to lose their job. They're going to get kicked out of their place. But let's talk on November the 9th. The citizens of Nacogdoches are being asked to band together on the parking lot of First Baptist Church at Amulet Street. And they're going to have a protest march to let your voice be heard on the issue of bringing back the Uncle Jack good old darkie statue on Front Street. That's going to be November the 9th on First Baptist Church in Amulet Street at 5 o'clock. I've been asked to be there. We're going to try to get Dr. Ernest Johnson, the state president of the NAACP, to come on the show. All right, and that is the interview. Now, again, let me get back to what they said. I said, quote, Michael Braxton is an Uncle Tom. This is what the legal document, the lawsuit against me is saying that I said, and quote, I said, he is in the mayor's pocket. Now, those are supposedly the words that I said.
Hold up, Tom. unless you were talking in some type of foreign language on the tape that I didn't hear you mention no one's name.
No one did. That's not a name mentioned. In fact, to be honest with you, when he was talking in generality about a plethora, he says, of elected officials, I never heard him mention
that.
I thought he actually was talking about somebody on the city council. Right. That's what I thought, someone who had actually voted on the measure. That's what I thought. That's what I'm saying. Let's take a quick break. Then when we come out, we're going to play what they said, Patsy Hoover said, and then what she actually said, and my interview with her as well. That's what I'm saying. There is the truth, and then there is what they are alleging to be the truth. And I want to pray for those people who are going to be testifying on behalf of Michael Braxton today. You just heard the truth. Now, maybe it's 2-3 years later, but surely you can't go on the stand and say something that was never said.
Tony, there's no way. This is messing with me.
Now you're upset because you're actually hearing the truth.
I didn't hear you mention all this guy mention anybody's
That's
name.
That's my point. That's my point. And then even if he would have mentioned the name, Michael Braxton being a public appointed official, the director of the Public Works and Streets Department, that's protected speech. Even if they said we said what we said, that's an opinion then. That's an opinion. Opinion is not a statement of fact. It's a statement of opinion, and therefore it is protected under the First Amendment right of freedom of speech. 36 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. Y'all asking why we going on longer? Because God allowed us to go on longer. We got a call Friday and said, and that's why I said, let me play the truth, because the truth may not be admitted in court today. That's how fearful I am about what possibly could happen. So if the truth will not be a part of the court record today, for some way they deem this tape inadmissible, or the dictated transcript of the tapes that my wife and I had to prepare, took her 2 weeks, 30,000 words to prepare. If they deem these two pieces of crucial evidence that will exonerate not only me, but Coach Jackson, as well as Patsy Hoover, I say there won't be any justice, and there certainly won't be any free speech in that town. 37 minutes after the hour, a quick break. Then we're going to come out with the live interview with Patsy Hoover of what was played the following day, November the 4th. Of 2009. Good morning.
This is Rodney Harrington, attorney at law with offices in Natchitoches and Leesville. If you're having financial problems but are afraid to file bankruptcy because you've heard you'll lose your tax refunds, I have some important news for you. As of January 1st, Chapter 13 filers in this area no longer have to give up their tax refunds. I'm Rodney Harrington at 1-800-638-1649. That's 1-800-638-1649. You'll keep your taxes and we'll start work on your case. We're a debt relief agency. We help people file for bankruptcy relief under the bankruptcy code.
See Rodney Harrington, a proud underwriting sponsor of this program.
Outpatient Medical Centers, Inc. has been providing quality primary health care in Central Louisiana for more than 25 years. Outpatient Medical Center is proud to serve patients from infants to seniors in Natchitoches, Leesville, and Tallulah. Their mission is to provide affordable and accessible comprehensive primary health care to uninsured patients regardless of their ability to pay. They also accept most private insurance, including Medicaid and Medicare. They also offer a sliding fee scale, which is based on income and size of family. Services include pediatrics, OBGYN, family practice, general and internal medicine, and dentistry. You can visit our medical centers in Natchitoches at 1640 Brazil Springs, 804 Beach Street in Tallulah, and 403 Boone Street across from Lowe's in Leesville. For more information on services or to book your appointment, 318-352-9299. That's 318-352-9299. Outpatient Medical Centers, providing quality health care to all, and proud sponsors of this program.
Eyes Open News Time, 39 minutes past the hour. CJ, you got the... Now, let me go ahead and read from the suit. Michael Braxton versus Robert Jackson, the primary, whom, again, which really really concerns me. When Robert Jackson spoke with me on Friday and said that the attorney for Michael Braxton came to him and his attorney and tried to offer him a deal that they would drop the case against him if he would testify against me and Patsy Hoover. They're alleging that Patsy Hoover, petitioner alleged that... That about November the 4th or 6th, they got it wrong again. well, maybe they got that date right. November the 4th, I did interview her. The defendant, Patsy Hoover. Now, the 6th, now the 4th was a Thursday. The 5th would be a Friday. And the 6th would be what day? A Saturday, correct? Tony Brown doesn't air on Saturday. I've never aired my show on a Saturday. So that lets me know that whomever put these statements together didn't hear what was said, and that everything that they are basing this suit on was based on conjecture, innuendo, and rumor. Because I'm played for you what was said, and y'all never heard a name of him. Now, I'm going to tell you, his name is mentioned, but not anything defamatory. And I mentioned his name because in between the show of interviewing Coach and this one, I was inundated with calls all that day and all through the night. Now, they're alleging that Patsy Hoover said this. Patsy Hoover is alleged to have said this in their petition filed against her, quote, is bought by the mayor, close quote. That's not even a complete sentence. Quote, he's in the mayor's pocket, close quote. That's similar to what they said the coach said, or I said, right? That's what I supposedly said, right, CJ? They don't know who said what, right, is my point. Three, quote, he don't care nothing about the people in the black neighborhood. He only care about himself. The mayor got him in his pocket. So she reiterated the in the mayor's pocket. That's what they're alleging she said. What did Patsy Hoover actually say in that piece? Let's go to the tape. The live actual recording dated November the 4th of 2009, unedited, uninterrupted, and the original tape that I was able to find. Go ahead. This is who?
Miss Lena Williams. I called in.
Now, I played Lena's part because she did a little. Keep going. She played because she did a poem, and I liked it.
It's not going to take long. I'm going to read fast, I promise.
Go ahead.
And I wrote about the little statue.
Okay.
A little black man sitting on the corner of Front Street pointing towards the north. Black face and white lips, a disgrace to the black race. He was moved some years ago and placed in a museum where he belongs. Now they want to put him back, and to the black people, this is wrong. We have enough reminders of how things used to be when a black man was enslaved, and that's where they thought that we should be. I'm a product of the 50s, and I know how it was back then when there were places right here on Front Street where a black man couldn't go in. So you may think that this little black statue shouldn't be looked at in a negative way, but why remind the black man of those awful days? So put that little statue in a museum where it belongs and keep it there all tucked away. We didn't like it then, and we won't stand for it today.
God bless you. Wow. Wow, you wrote that in just one day?
Yes, I did.
Girl, you got some talent, girl. God bless you, and thank you. Thank you for your courage.
I am a poet. I told you I'm writing a book. The title of the book is Do You Know What a Black Man Knows I Do?
Okay, come on now, sister. God bless you. And maybe when the book is finished, get me a copy. Autograph, please.
I sure will.
All right. God bless you as well. Let's go to Miss Pat Hoover. And Pat Hoover is with the organization that is calling on all the residents of Louisiana to come and join them this Monday as they start out at the church and march in protest. They're going to start out at First Baptist Amulet Street Church at 5 o'clock. And, of course, they're going to march on City Hall. Pat joins us live from Nacogdoches. Good morning, Pat, and thank you for and welcome back to Eyes Open this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Tony.
Well, let me first of all, good morning. Let me, first of all, I thought we were supposed to get before you were on the phone, the city councilwoman, because I wanted to hear.
We'll wait until I'm finished and she'll call.
Okay. You can best believe. Let me do this.
Yes.
Now, how difficult was it for you to even try to get a permit? And it's my understanding you have been trying to get a permit for how long? And what had seemed to be the problem of you trying to get a signature of the mayor on the permit?
Well, first of all, Tony, we started last Thursday trying to get the mayor and the chief of police to sign our permit. The mayor said to me that he could not sign it first, that the chief of police, it was the order that the chief of police had to sign first. The chief of police did not sign until yesterday around 4:30. And for the correction, the mayor still has not signed the permit.
Okay, well, we can't march until the mayor signs a permit. Why do you think he is ducking and dodging? Because it's my understanding you've been almost camped out of his office for the last 3 days.
Yes. Tony, I can't speak for the mayor as to why he has not signed it. I have not only been by to see him, I have called to try to set up an appointment to see him, and they told me the mayor is busy. He have other things to do other than signing or permit.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Pat. What we're going to do is answer the show. We're going to get Dr. Ernest Johnson with the NAACP, and what we're going to do is try to coordinate and go ahead and file a suit. We'll go ahead and file a suit against the mayor. If he refuses to sign this permit by the end of the week, we will bring the full legal team out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, up and do everything in our legal means, because we do have a constitutional God-given right to have a civil protest. And the mayor, although he may be or considers himself boss hog in Natchitoches, he does not supersede state or federal law. So the bottom line is you will have your permit, and the mayor could either sign it and go ahead and say this is America, and even if I may disagree with why they're protesting, he, bottom line, has to sign it, and if he doesn't sign it, we'll take it to a court, even a federal court. So we're going to get you in contact, and I encourage you to call Dr. Ernest Johnson, because he did tell you yesterday that if you had a problem, he would do what now? He would get involved. Am I right?
Now, yes, Ernest Johnson, I spoke with Ernest Johnson, and he said that he will be here for the march, and whatever we needed from Natchitoches, he will be more than happy to assist us.
Okay, so we're going to call him today, get on a conference call, you, he, and I, and, of course, hopefully some men in your organization that feel that this is an American right. It is an American right. And if we can march in Gina and force them to give us a permit in Gina, you can best believe that Natchitoches will be no problem.
But
let me ask you this. Now, I'm going to have a city councilwoman coming on, and I think her name is Ms. Morrow, City Councilwoman Morrow.
Right.
Now, this is her second term. She's been in office. And there are allegations, Pat, that I've gotten several calls that not only is she, have her on to answer some of these allegations, that she is working behind the scenes in cahoots with the mayor, it's my understanding. And there are also allegations that possibly she may very well be on the payroll of the mayor, which I know for a fact, if that's to be true, that is an illegal act. You can't do that. I know that. So if the Dr. Ernest Johnson needs to come and take a closer look at NAACP at that relationship, and if there's any financial monies being passed from the mayor's office, anybody that's related to him, to this councilwoman, whether they're, because there's allegations that he's paying car notes, bought her a car, and then there's this guy who is supposed to be the streets department guy, Mr. Braxton. I don't know him, but I've heard some very disturbing things about him as well, that you have people who are working, who look like us, that are working to try to undermine this march. Is that true?
That is correct.
Now,
that is correct.
Now, you're telling me that this city councilwoman, although she called me yesterday and said that she rescinded her vote, and I'm going to have her on shortly, you're telling me that she is against, really, the march? Is that what you're telling me? And that this,
yes,
Mr.
Yes, I am, Tony, and she was one of the ones who came to the community to ask us to march on City Hall. She had been working with us up until Friday. Thursday, she was in with Dr. Dupree and I, and she was all for the march.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, something changed. She came back in, said to Dr. Dupree that the march needed to stop, that it was going to disrupt the city, and to call the march off.
She said this on Friday.
Yes.
Okay. Now,
she said that she and Michael Braxton had met with the mayor.
Michael Braxton. And what is his position with the mayor's office?
Oh, he is public works.
Okay, so he gets paid by the mayor's office.
Yes.
Okay, and I've heard people call me saying that this guy is lobbying against the march. Is that true?
That's true. As well as Ms. Morrow has been out in the community telling people that the march had been canceled, and the march is not canceled. We are very excited about it. We are putting out flyers. We are making telephone calls. We're people from throughout North and Central Louisiana to come out and join us, both black and white.
All right. Go ahead, ma'am.
And, Tony, I just want to tell you, I'm not afraid.
Amen.
And my favorite quote is Psalms 27.
Go ahead.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, we are not going to turn around. Our fight is for the people. And the devils here on earth, can't stop us.
Amen. And
it's not about me. It's not about Tony. It's about people and the injustices that are taking place here in Natchitoches Parish.
That's it, CJ. Go ahead and hit that. And that was that interview. Now, you heard his name mentioned in that interview, but certainly it's not anything that was defamatory. You know, it was questions or what have you. But CJ, you heard that as well. So even when they are alleging that she said, you know, the things that I mentioned that she said, she never said that. And I think they got some parts of interviews mixed up with some other portions. But that was the only thing that was said. It certainly wasn't defamatory. And initially, like I say again, I thought the people that they were speaking about, and I made comment about it, was the city council member who actually passed the resolution. So I don't know how this suit came about. But the bottom line here, we're going to go to break as I have to leave now. I ask y'all to pray for me. If y'all like to call in when CJ comes back for a few minutes and wish us some prayers, you can do so. He'll take some calls to the top of the hour. God gave us an additional 30 minutes. And with that said, you heard what they are alleging that we said. You heard the definition of protection of speech. You heard the fact that Michael Braxton is a public official as deemed as such in a ruling that he made against the city financial director back in 2010 when that person ran for public office, that you can't hold two dual office. And though his position is appointed, it is still political and he is deemed a public person, not an employee. And with that said, this is about protected speech. This is about the constitutional rights of all Americans to have access to freedom of speech. And again, we did not say what they said we said. And that lets me know that the people who are testifying against me, you've actually heard the truth. Now, the truth may not get to court. That's why I played it in the courtroom of public opinion on my show. 51 minutes after the hour, Eyes Open News time. I rest my case. Good morning.
Time flies when you travel. Alexandria International Airport gives you that time. Great value, short drive, easy parking, a quick stroll to your gate, and you're on your way. In a world of special moments, AEX leaves you with extra minutes to savor, extra moments to share, extra time to care. AEX, your airport, your world.
AEX is a proud underwriting sponsor of Eyes Open.
Outpatient Medical Centers, Inc. has been providing quality primary health care in Central Louisiana for more than 25 years. Outpatient Medical Center is proud to serve patients from infants to seniors in Natchitoches, Leesville, and Tallulah. Their mission is to provide affordable and accessible comprehensive primary health care to uninsured patients regardless of their ability to pay. They also accept most private insurance, including Medicaid and Medicare. They also offer a sliding fee scale, which is based on income and size of family. Services include pediatrics, OBGYN, family practice, general and internal medicine, and dentistry. You can visit our medical centers in Natchitoches at 1640 Brazil Springs, 804 Beach Street in Tallulah, and 403 Boone Street across from Lowe's in Leesville. For more information on services or to book your appointment, 318-352-9299. That's 318-352-9299. Outpatient Medical Centers, providing quality health care to all and proud sponsors of this program.
Primary Care Specialist is a proud sponsor of this program. Primary Care Specialist is located at 3208 Prescott Road in Alexandria, which specializes in keeping families healthy, has expanded its services. Primary Care Specialist is offering a new service to its patients and the community. Through its newly open Transformation Center, the physicians are offering customized medically supervised weight loss and weight management programs. Their mission is to help treat and eradicate diseases associated with obesity and being overweight. The plan is comprehensive and designed to meet your individual needs. Primary care specialist services also include child and adult counseling, wellness exams, acute and urgent care, pap smear and gynecological testing, asthma testing, hearing and osteoporosis screening, cardiopulmonary stress testing, carotid artery ultrasound, circulatory evaluations, 4-hour blood pressure, Holter monitoring, and comprehensive lab testing. 318-487-6060. That's 318-487-6060. Or for more information, www.pcs-physicians.com. Primary care specialist, a family of doctors who believe a healthy family is a happy family.
Most people think about their car insurance exactly twice. Once when they buy it, and once when they have an accident. Then the questions start. What if the guy that hit you doesn't have insurance? Who pays? Are you covered if you hit him? What if you hit a tree instead of a car? What if it's a city tree? What if you weren't even driving your car because you lent it to your friend? Are you covered then? Don't hope so. Know so. Get a free Good Hands coverage checkup from an Allstate agent. And in just a few minutes, no matter who your insurance company is, you'll get a report that reviews your current policy limits and points out where you might need more coverage. Just because you have insurance doesn't mean you're protected. That's Allstate Stand. Are you in good hands?
This is Dr. Ife Williams, Chair of the National Congress of Black Women. You're listening to Eyes Open with Tony Brown.
This is Dr. Ronald Mason, Jr., and you're listening to Eyes Open with Tony Brown.
Anyone can give you song and dance. This is Eyes Open with Tony Brown. Come clean or stay away nasty.
Yeah, this is CJ. You're still listening to Eyes Open. And we got Tony on the highway right now. He's going to need everybody's prayers. You definitely have mine, my brother. And we all heard the interviews together, you know. And I didn't hear anything where Tony said that was out of line. He was just doing his job. And we know right is right, wrong is wrong. So if you can go down with Tony, go down to Natchitoches. He'd love your support. And we're just going to pray for my brother. We got you, Doc. Here's the Isley Brothers, Fight the Power. Been listening to Eyes Open. We had an additional 30 minutes. Thank God for it. We was able to let you hear a few things that's going on. Let's pray for Tony as he's on his way to Natchitoches. And if you can go down with him, your support is greatly appreciated. Good morning.
Christian live talk show in Louisiana. Our topics are controversial, always informative, and enlightening based on the Word of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came to the earth to destroy the traditions of men based on law. Throughout Jesus Christ's life, death, and the resurrection, He provided a way that we could live a Spirit-filled life in the Word. You may listen to the Prayer Power Live Talk Show on the web.
Thanks for tuning in to Eyes Open with Tony Brown on your community strong, community aware station, 88.1 FM KAYT. Eyes Open with Tony Brown airs daily, Monday through Friday. If you have a topic you would like to discuss or an upcoming event you want mentioned on the air, send your emails to eyesopentbrown@yahoo.com or fax your request to the KAYT studios at 318-487-0909 or write to us at Eyes Open, care of KAYT Radio, 88.1-5003 Masonic Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302.
The views expressed on this program are solely of those who choose to participate in this open format.
Live talk show, the number one Christian live talk show in Louisiana. Our topics are controversial, always informative and enlightening, based on the Word of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came to the earth to destroy the traditions of men based on law. Throughout Jesus Christ's life, death, and the resurrection, He provided a way that we could live a Spirit-filled life in the Word. You may listen to the Prayer Power Live talk show on the web at www.kayt.fm.com. You are our guest, so phone in now. Phone your comments. Call the studios at 484-2500. Outside of the area, 1-877-464-2500. Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas, and Mississippi. You can call now. And now, from the studios of KAYT 88.1, the Reverend Carmouche, co-host Will and Sister Jocelyn Jacobs. Now, Reverend Carmouche, Will and Sister Jocelyn Jacobs. The phone lines are open now.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We just want to thank you so much for being with us today. Yes, it's exciting to have you with us, everybody out there. So many listeners out there. Everywhere as we go, people are thinking how exciting the show is. It's a great show, and to keep up the good work. So here we are once again, ready to keep up the good work, and you can be a part of it. Calling in a number. Yes, write that number down. 1-877-464-2500. Don't forget it. 1-877-464-2500. You could be part of the show by calling in, giving a suggestion, an opinion of what you feel about the topic of today. We do have a website you can get to, and it's prayerpowerlive.com. Prayerpowerlive.com, and you can read all about us on that and even place your prayer request. That's great, so get to it. PrayerPowerLive.com. We're going to give this CD away towards the end of the program. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. We need all that. We need a lot of grace, and definitely we need a lot of peace by Joyce Myers, of course. We got a bunch of Joyce Myers CDs. It's great. I know you're going to enjoy it. So don't forget, towards the end of the program, we will give this away just for you, and we will mail it to you absolutely free. Great. Praise God. I just want to thank my co-host for being here. We got Reverend LaShonda Taco.
Hello, everyone out there in the viewing area.
Uh-huh. Everybody out there.
Everybody out there. We welcome you to call into the show and to give your prayer request on the topic that we'll be discussing on today.
Sure, great. Amen. So we appreciate you being here. We got Jacko on the other side. How are we feeling today, Jacko? Hallelujah. Glory
to
God.
You don't really
want to
know how I feel. You're just asking that to be polite.
Yeah, well, I can see by the... By the bat that you're holding in your hand, more likely it's going to be pretty rough today, Taco.
Always, you want people to think that I'm not the kind spirit.
She is kind-hearted.
I'm going to take pictures from now on, the bat, the knife, the gun.
The contents by the package.
That's right.
Yeah, you might sound like you're sweet and nice and all that good stuff. On the radio, but you ought to see her. You know, she carries a bat, pistol, knives, all that good stuff.
She carries Jesus.
She rides a motorcycle.
That's a weapon. You ain't never seen me on a motorcycle.
What's the one parked outside for? Who's it for? I don't believe it's for Taco, is it?
That's my new Mercedes.
Taco, you're not riding motorcycle?
Oh, no, no. New Mercedes GL5.
No motorcycle.
Are you sure? Okay, it might be somebody that looks like you, but I thought you might have got off of that motorcycle.
Bless the Lord.
Nevertheless, anyways.
Anything that you like.
Well, I'm taking pictures from now on. Okay. I might even place them on T-shirts, all right?
All right.
Jacko and Taco.
Without my signature and without my permission, I bet you won't be sitting on the other side of this over there.
Okay. We'll be together on all this, man. We'll have all three of our pictures.
My picture on no t-shirt.
The powwow people here. We do have a topic for the day, and I call it looking for love in all the wrong places. Battered women. How bad has it gotten really in this generation and time? We see women's shelter, setting up all over the place and
right.
just needing help. They're running away from their problems. Is that a good thing to do, running away from your problem rather than trying to work it out with the person that you're with? Or, what do you do here? We look at the situation. We see, I look at the beginning of time. God made Adam, okay? He made Adam. He said, Adam... and when they fell, he made Adam and he made Eve. He right. took a rib out of Adam, made Eve, and he said, this is your helpmate. So women are supposed to be helping men, right?
Right.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. I got somebody that's on my side.
So readily agree with that thing.
Wait. I'm going to go a little bit further with this. Then I start reading. Then they fall, okay? They fall into sin. They eat the forbidden fruit. Then God says, okay, woman, you're going to be covered by childbirth. You're giving childbirth through the suffering and the pain that you're going through. Mm-hmm. But, here you got Adam. You're gonna suffer through the sweat of your brow. So you're the authority over everything. Woman should be barefoot and naked and so on. Barefoot and pregnant.
No, you cannot go there.
Why not? It was in the beginning of time.
Scripture that you are forgetting.
What are you trying to say?
God told the deceitful snake.
Oh, wait a minute. God said it.
The woman will crush you.
Crush
the
head.
Okay, he did. She crushed the head. But that doesn't mean...
Oh, come on. No.
That doesn't mean that she's not supposed to be barefoot and pregnant.
No.
I mean, that's why it started. It started in the beginning.
Let's pray and get started. As a result of the show that we had the other day.
The right. result of the show is
that,
similar to this show,
people were confessing and crying and...
Uh-huh.
I said to the Lord so many times before I did that because
what were they confessing?
He was after me, and I'd always tell him, Poppy, I can't do it. I cannot express that.
Here we go with Poppy again. You might have to explain Poppy.
I can call him anything
what
I like.
You call him what?
He might be.
What you
he
calling
might,
who?
He's personal to me. He all
yes,
I
right.
got.
Who's
so
personal?
He's all that I
Jesus.
Need. God.
Oh,
God.
Okay.
All right.
We want to clarify who Poppy is.
Poppy is my God.
I just think of Wizard of Oz. Poppy.
Oh, Jesus.
Some plant, cocaine plant.
Jesus.
Poppy. It starts
Let's
snowing,
pray, Jack. Let's
Jesus.
Pray.
Jesus. Jesus.
Say his name.
Father, we call on you, Lord. Lord, we call upon the spirits of the ascending masters, God. We call upon the spirits of the prophets, God, that are left in the earth and more than anything else, God. We call upon the Holy Ghost, God.
Yes, Father.
God, we break down every stronghold in the name
right
of
now,
Jesus.
Father, Jesus name,
we command the spirit of brokenness. We command the spirit of rape and incest and molestation that are hidden in the feelings of both men and women, that they be knocked down, that they be broke down in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
The only way that the devil can succeed if he keep us in darkness, Father, we command that darkness to become full light in the name of Jesus.
In the name
we command the Spirit of God to be God. We command your Spirit.
God,
we call upon warring angels to fight for the rights of those, God, that have been molested. Those have been beaten, God, in the name of Jesus. And they are living in shame and feeling violated in the name of Jesus. We command those spirits to take their leave, God. We counsel them. We call them of no effect in the earth.
Father.
You're a liar. You're a thief. Hallelujah.
Yes,
but we command our sisters and our brothers today that they be free in
Jesus'
name.
In the name of
that
Jesus,
you come forth, whatever brokenness that you're living in.
Father.
If you've been violated by rape, incest, or molestation, we call you dead. We call upon the King of the mighty army of God.
Father.
We call upon Micah. We call upon the messenger Gabriel. We call upon Ramiel. God, we call the spirits from the north, south, east, and
broken with.
Yes, Father.
Go to the brokenness that's in the earth, oh God.
Yes, Father.
God, we are not property, God.
Yes,
we are your children, God. And so many of us have lived in darkness and professed light, God, because we didn't know what else to do.
Yes,
and Jesus died in brokenness, oh God, that we might live in light.
Yes,
he took the brokenness, God. He took the whipping.
Yes,
he took the shame, God,
yes,
that
Father.
We don't have to live in shame.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Come out of darkness. For whatever reason you are in darkness, call into this radio station today.
Yes,
we are going to confess by faith.
Yes,
I did not know that God would let out of a confession of such darkness that he led me to do. You don't know how much that pained me. Every time you confess, you feel violated all over again. Hallelujah. But I thank you, God, that my life can become a living testimony for those that have lived in darkness.
Yes, Father.
Oh, I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I praise you in the name of Jesus that all darkness must bow their knee.
Yes, Father.
In the name of
Jesus,
God, because we are holy priesthood of a peculiar people set aside. And Satan has no power over us anymore, God. None of his darkness. He cannot, he can oppress us, but he cannot be inside of us, God. In the name of Jesus, let all shame be known, Father.
Yes, Father.
Let them know that the only shame is the cross.
Yes, Father.
And anything that we bear outside of that, God, is of no use. And we thank you right now in his name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay.
Ms. Jackson, can I get the statistics on domestic violence?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
quick?
Ma'am.
It says here that every 9 seconds in the United States, a woman is assaulted or beaten. Around the world, at least one in every three women have been beaten, coerced into sex, or otherwise abused during her lifetime. Most often, the abuser is a member of her own family.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women, more than car accidents, muggings, and rapes combined. Studies suggest that up to 10 million children witness some form of domestic violence annually. Nearly one in five teenage girls who have been in a relationship said a boyfriend threatened violence or self-harm if presented with a breakup. Now, that's a, we see that more in high schools.
Right, you see that.
Every day in the United States, more than three women are murdered by their husbands or boyfriends. Then it says 92% of women survive listed reducing domestic violence and sexual assault as their top concern. Domestic violence victims lose nearly 8 million days of paid work per year in the United States alone. That's a lot. And they lose their jobs. Based upon reports from 10 countries, between 55% of 95% of women who have been physically abused by their partners have never contacted non-governmental organizations, shelters, or police for help.
Amen.
Ain't that something?
Wow, that's something.
You know, and that, you know what amuses me about that and why I call Reverend Kamush, because we are going to be coming on now on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
That's correct.
That'll be our new time at 5 o'clock in the afternoon after the show that we had the other day that one woman called in, and I wish that she calls back, was crying uncontrollably for something that she had festered in her spirit. She's a Christian.
Right.
And she's festered it in her spirit. Two pastors, one admitted that he was married. He married because his wife was pregnant. And all of these 30 years, he's cheated and belittled her because he feels she tricked him into marriage.
Wow.
Right.
Another one said, she wasn't what I wanted.
Wow.
So I tried to find who I wanted, and I never did.
Right.
And I had to say to the brother, it was so commanded by God. It's not what you wanted, but it's what he wanted. And even under difficult circumstances that we might not, that God knows what's good for us all the time.
You know.
And I looked at my life and I think about the thing that happened to me and how it made me dead inside, how it just, I never felt love. And I used to, Reverend Kamush, Poppy, I used to say, Papa, why can I not feel love?
Hello,
why
Poppy.
Can I, you know, I would have the man that was in my life to say to me,
right,
I love you. And he wasn't the only one that I was in, but I never felt love, you know. Sexual experiences, it was like he was on the top of Mount Everest, but I felt like I had lost the lottery. You know, a man does not realize when a violated, and they tried, they really tried with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I never said what it was, and
right,
they went overboard to try to make me feel. But you cannot take and smush somebody's emotions in a meat grinder and expect, just like a woman, a man, a man, her husband has cheated on her, and no matter what he does, he expects her to get back in the bed and perform and have sex with him. Well, you don't do anything but make her out of a machine that does what is required of her. Right. You're not anybody can have sex. Dogs and cats have sex. But when you do that to a woman and you wound her emotions, for the rest of, she'll stay there out of decency.
Right.
But the rest
so
of the time.
So how do you get out of that? I mean, you know,
if you are a man or woman of God, I don't know how you get out of it.
If you're not a man or a woman of God, you don't know how you get out of it.
Well,
right?
The thing of it is,
a lot of them go to counselors.
People are so insensitive,
but you know, that does help.
People's feelings.
That does help. You know,
what does help?
It does help. Is you know, getting it out and being able to express to somebody how you feel.
Yeah, but
how can you trust?
How
can you talk to the man that committed adultery?
Well,
who are you going to talk? You want to talk to the pastor, talk to the counselor.
If you can't trust your own pastor, then you got a problem. You got an even more serious problem.
Self-confessed adultery.
I mean, come on now.
You
got to learn to trust somebody. You can't go throughout your whole life and not trust anybody. How can you trust God if you can't
trust
somebody?
I trusted God.
Now you trust God, and God can take it away. But let's just say, you know, what about if you don't know God? People out there got to trust somebody. You know, there's got to be somebody out there that you can trust. You can't go out throughout life and never trusting anybody.
But you have got to realize when you talk,
you got to take that out of you.
Talk to women.
Face your problem.
My daddy never did anything. He kept us. My daddy wouldn't even let you walk a certain way in front. But you've got girls, Reverend Camus,
you do,
that the trust figure in their life are having sex with them.
Right.
And when
I
they
agree.
Get
I, they
old enough, they think that's acceptable behavior, and they
and
become prostitutes.
And I give you a prime example of that, Ms. Jackie. Joyce Meyer was on TBN just last week, and she said from the time that she could remember when she was a little girl, maybe about 2 or 3 years old, up until she was 18 years old, she said her father, the person who she trusted, raped her once a week, every week, until she became 18 years old. He raped her once a week, every week, for 18 years, all of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And that left her wounded and scarred. But now, you know, she's healed.
But you see, that's the whole point. You have to bring them to a healer. You have to bring them someplace where
God.
They can get healed or a counselor. You just can't leave them. They have to understand that there is a way out. Okay?
It is a way out.
Like that,
you can't
you don't
stay
trust
that way.
Nobody.
You don't trust nobody. Reverend Camus, I'm saying, when you're dealing with something like that, when somebody has violated you, you know, in this form, in this way, you got to have somebody who you can confide in, who you can really trust, because you can't trust everybody with them kind of scars
can't.
And wounds.
Well, then you have to find somebody.
And a lot of people, a lot of women out there are keeping this stuff hidden inside. They're not going forth and talking about it, and they're keeping this hurt and this pain on the inside.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You got to come out.
They got to come out, but they got to have somebody who they know who they can
trust.
Well,
they got people out there.
And release that hurt and that brokenness, too.
But, I mean, we look at that, you know.
Right.
But everybody,
right.
men and women, have
right.
been emotionally scarred one way
right.
or the other
exactly.
in their lives.
Exactly.
And they have to find somebody
right.
that they can trust,
right.
that they can come to and talk to,
exactly.
especially God. You know?
Especially God.
If we
God,
can get them to come to God.
God is the only person that's going to be able to take that brokenness and that pain away
and heal inside out.
Because you have to be healed inside out. You
got to trust somebody. You know what I mean? So there has to be a trust somewhere.
Miss Annie Brown, and I really don't know what is going on with the Turning Point Shelter, but me and Jack are going to start believing and standing in agreement for that Turning Point Shelter to be reopened, because we need that shelter.
Definitely.
We need a Turning Point Shelter open. There are a lot of women right now who are losing their lives, who are going through domestic violence out there, and we need to get together as a community to get that shelter reopened, because women are they're trying to get a having a way of escape out, and they don't have nowhere to turn to leave their abuser. They need to have somewhere.
They got a lot of women out there right now. You've got to realize that a trust factor.
We have to have a way of escape.
Why don't they call 1-877-464-2500? Call
this over the internet. She said, "Never be ashamed of the scars life has left you with."
That's true.
A scar means the hurt is over, the wounds have been healed, and you've endured the pain. God sent you help and picked you up and made you well. God has healed you.
Right.
You have to, you know, unless you've been in a situation like that, you don't trust nobody.
You don't.
You come into a relationship with God, but up until that time, you always, at all times, you feel like you have to have eyes in front of you and behind you. You feel like you can't trust anybody.
You can't.
You understand? Nobody is available to be trusted. And I can't say that my boyfriend didn't try. I cannot say that.
Right.
He tried everything humanly possible, but I was void inside. If anybody can understand that.
How are you
now? I used to constantly act none of your business.
I want to know.
I had to ask God
constantly. I want to know.
Why do you always want to know about my
business? Because I believe people want to know how you feel right now.
After
all the turmoil and the emotional scars and stress that you've been through all these years and what happened to you, I believe that battered women out there who are really interested in how are you feeling right now, Jackie, at this point in time in your life? Do you feel recovered completely? Do you feel you can trust the people now? You can feel. Do you feel you can trust? Can you feel you can trust your emotions with somebody? Can you really feel that you can trust somebody with love now and fall in love and get married and all that good stuff? Can you really do that?
I asked God for many, many years,
right?
Because, you know, it says that before everything that we sow, we're gonna reap. And I knew of my unusual cruelty. I knew the things that I did, because, you know, psychology says that whatever the point of impact at a violation, whether it's rape, incest, molestation, the brain takes a long vacation. But you mature to some extent on the outside, but you are always at the point of that violation.
That's true.
And I ask God over and over and over and over again.
Right.
You know, I need that. Well, in the last few years, he did that for me. I asked him if I could just, I felt like a freak. I said, I'd listen to my girlfriends talk about their sexual escapades. We listen to them talk about, but I never felt like that. You know, I never felt, I just didn't want to. I closed my emotions down. And he allowed me to do that in the last few years.
Okay.
And then I asked him, why did pain come along with it? And I had to first reap the cruelty that I had done in the earth. You know, I say to him, Poppy, I didn't do that.
Right.
Somebody did that to me.
Right.
But still and all, I didn't have the right, to feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have the right, being a professing Christian. It wasn't unforgiveness. It was indifference, to say, I don't care. I'm a self-confessed Jesuit. It means that I took a vow of celibacy, and everything that I have is at God's command. Anything that he demands of me, I give.
Right.
So I hid in being celibate.
Right.
I hid in a lot of things. But still, I'm a red-blooded female, and I used to call out to him and say, could I just feel love? Something is wrong with me. Right. I used to cry out. I say, something is wrong with me. Right. And he allowed me to feel that emotion. I'm satisfied. And I asked him, before I die, could you let me feel unconditional love? And exactly. He did that and for me.
So what,
and I'm
what
satisfied
about now?
With the fact that love was in my heart.
Right.
You know, I was 19 years old when that happened to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't a virgin when I was raped.
Right.
No, I wasn't. But I had a childhood sweetheart. He was 12 years old. And you know, at that age, you don't really call that sex. I don't even know what you call it, you
right.
know. But I asked him, I said, could you please, I just want to feel love.
Exactly.
That person didn't even have to love me back. I just wanted to feel love.
Right.
And he did that for me.
Isn't that, you know, that's why God has created it for the sanctity of in marriage, you know,
right,
because
right.
of. This is where it's supposed
love
to be.
Love and sex is not the same thing. I wasn't talking about
isn't
sex.
Isn't it part of it? Does it have
but
anything
it
to do
love,
with
it?
But it
does love.
About
loved
your marriage.
Us and he didn't have sex with us.
I agree
right.
on that.
You know, so there is
but then
you
all
get, kinds of love.
I understand.
Right.
There's that romantic love that God allows in our marriage that we
to.
Have.
I wasn't
right.
talking
you know,
about
that
sex.
Magic love. Right.
I was talking about
because what happened to you had to deal.
We
dealt with sex.
Right.
And it interfered in your emotions, okay?
No.
So it,
did
was
not,
sex
no, it
related.
It didn't right. bother me.
It was sex related.
No, it every you love your children. You love mm-hmm. your mother. You love you. They say that God gives you agape love.
Yeah.
So
that's
you don't
a godly
have to,
love.
You have to.
You're talking about romantic love.
I love
about
somebody.
Agape love.
I did.
Well, I'm talking about romantic
some,
love.
Well, that's all you want to talk about because you're wretched.
No.
I wasn't talking about that.
Well, I'm talking about it now because you see, that's why a lot of women are looking for, okay? And that's, I don't think.
That's wretched, though. You have just dirted what I said. I wasn't talking about
that.
I wasn't talking about a romantic kind of look.
When you're looking for a mate, what are you looking for? I mean, tell me, what do you look for?
A woman wants a kind man.
What do you want?
A woman wants to have a kind man in her life.
But there is a romance of love.
It is a romance of love, but she wants a man that is kind.
You want him to love you, right?
To love me.
Right.
To love God and then
mm-hmm.
love himself.
Of course.
Love me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, love me as a
you
female.
You know, we
right.
equate in this society.
But you see,
this,
you're keeping it in this gender.
Right.
But we
what
forget
gender?
That there's another gender here.
Let me tell you something.
There is
you
another gender here
that
men get raped as well when they're young. Okay,
they do.
Yes,
and what
they
happens
do.
To them?
But
they're just thrown
you know,
out to the side.
No, they not.
Now, what about them? Whatever happened to them?
Well, I'm gonna get this a ticket right. It says men who as children witnessed their parents domestic violence were twice as likely to abuse their own wives than sons of non-violent parents. Now, what do you say about that? Men who, as children, witnessed their parents'
mm-hmm.
domestic violence were twice as likely to abuse their own wives than sons of non-violent
right.
parents.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's copycat, you know,
as
they go through life and it's instilled in their minds and believing
right.
that's how it should be. And that's part of environmental, you know.
It is.
Who you,
it is.
And not the way what you're born with, but
right.
something that you've learned, a behavior that you've
and
learned.
And this is my prayer, because I know it's, you know, Father's Day is coming up, but this is my mm-hmm. prayer of what I pray that will be preached on that day. I pray that the pastors in this community will preach to the men and to the young men on how to treat their wives, how to love their wives, how to honor their wives, and treat them the way Christ treat the church. And mm-hmm. love them because they're God's daughters, and you cannot take women and use them as, you know, you will call, you will say, you know, your instruments. You know, they belong uh-huh. to God.
Right.
And, they really do.
And women, let me tell you something, from talking to them, from being around them
right.
and listening to them, women, because of the lack of males, have a tendency to devalue themselves just to have companionship.
Right.
Whatever value you present to him, that's the value he's going to treat you as. you, my daddy, it's one thing about my dad, and they always say, well, he just keep them girls all up in the house. They say, my daddy said, whoever you look in the mirror, whoever you value in the mirror, that's who you are, no matter what. And none of us, and it might be that we kind of feisty and all of that. I ain't never had a man to hit me, because, you know, if he hit me, I was going to hit him back. You understand?
Never.
They were laughing at me the other day in here, because I never seen a pornographic movie. I didn't, for what? You know, my daddy raised us to be who we are, and the greatest figure or hero in a girl's life is her daddy.
Oh, yes.
If her daddy, whatever way her daddy is, my daddy, still at 91 years old, I told him the other day, he had just came here, bought him a lily white suit, a beige tie, a suit that cost over $500, a tie and some, I said, my God, I said, you're 91 years old. He said, till I die, I'm going to dress, this is my money, and I'm going to buy what I want. But that's the way, and that's the kind of husbands that we sought out. But if your daddy is an abuser or drunkard, whatever, I tell that to men. I was counseling a family last night. I said, you can't let your daughter see you like that,
that's
sir.
That's true.
You cannot let her decide who she's going to marry based upon how you act. I said, because you're going to want to kill him, but you have presented the evidence.
Right, right.
That's what she needs, because if her daddy is like that, then she ought to be like that. Then the man that she married ought to be like that.
And I tell you what, Ms. Jackie, to add to that note, women out there, when you and your dad is a righteous man, he's standing before the Lord, and he comes in and he meets that fellow who you're dating or who you want to be engaged to one day and marry, and if he give you wise counsel and he discern that this gentleman is not right for you, please do not ignore your father's wise counsel and advice, because they can see straight through him. And a lot of times we do make the mistakes. We override our father's, counsel, and we get into something that we wish we would never got into. Mm-hmm. And so I'll just tell the ladies out there, if your father, because when he gives that his daughter away, he's giving her away because he trusts this man to take care of his daughter like he did when, you know, she was a little girl. And so they don't want no problems. Listen to wise counsel that your father is giving you, because they know the ones who are upright and right standing with God, it will save you some heartache. It will save you some pain. It will save you from being, you know, crying and from being lonely. Listen to your father when he's giving you wise, godly, and skillful counsel.
Yeah, there's
because
a lot of people out there.
And he knows.
And he's a man, and he knows.
We would be scared because he knows.
He's
going to take that man on
he
the
know.
Back porch.
He knows. And
he
talk
was
to him.
Ask him what was his intention.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would say, if you bring her back and she ain't got
that's
none of your
That's how it
children,
was, but it's not how it is.
Right, but it still need to be back. It still be,
I agree.
It needs to get back to
We've
that Reverend Cummings. We have lost it, because my mom would tell me, in her generation, men would not lift a finger or would not say a thing out of their mouth to disrespect a woman.
I agree.
They would not do it. Nowadays, men don't care how they treat women and how they just do not care.
Okay. We
Hello,
got a call.
Go ahead on, Mr. Brown. You're on the phone.
Mr. Brown.
How are you all doing?
We're doing all right,
great.
Mr. Brown.
Giving the obedience to God.
Mm-hmm. That's the way we should be, my friend.
And in respect of that, it's a hard time out there. That I preach it every day. I don't have to wait the Father's Day to come. I have to do it every day because so many of them are lost.
Amen.
And those that have been with the old gardens and the new gardens, I mean, they've got it in their head that they are grown. And I tell them all the time, like my mama used to say, you're going to smell it yourself. But if you look at what you think you're ahead of, it's going down and it's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it's just like giving them the same experience like my mama gave me. I don't care what tribe I go in, I'm telling them everything. I have made mistakes, but I had to pay for them. But that life is not. You want a child, your own child to be saved.
Right.
You got to cut out all that foolishness that you're accepting from other folks. And when you look at other people's children, you don't want your children to be acting like them. So don't be talking about them, because to the place that you need to take place at your own house when you say it's your house. Yeah. But in your heart, you ought to make that your house and your home. And so when you disrespect other folks' children, you tell your children about it, well, they say, well, they're doing it, why I can't do it. So that's the thing that we had to be preaching on. And I mean, I can give them the scripture where it is, but they don't think it's them. But I tell them, your name is right beside this lady here. You done did this and that. So it's time you to come on home and bring them children on home.
That's right.
And the problem we have is that when they go off to college, if they spoil at home, they're going to be spoiled at college. They feel so sad and so bad that they finna go because they ain't got no learning for them to respect nobody when they go somewhere.
That's true. And that's
17, 18, on up to 21. And I want to say this here. A visitor came to me one day, and I was in the house getting ready to go to church. And my mind flipped back on the 22 generations when Jesus was coming, down through. And so I pictured myself at subtracting. I just made my age 57 years old. I divided that up between two, and I took the year the 42 generation divide there. I was 21 years old, and I'm looking at the 21 years old now that ain't no way in the world you can hardly tell them nothing because I done gave them something that they didn't ever work for, and they just don't care about me until something break down. But I stated on them all the time that this ain't gonna get you nowhere because when you show me disrespect when I gave it to you, mm-hmm. when you come back again, you playing that little sleek way of doing so. And so
Sleek.
When I put you to work, I know that you ain't come back with no sleep because I'm going to teach you when you got to go somewhere else. I might not be around no more. And that's what you're going to have to learn to grow on. So, you know, it's like if all fathers come together and work that way together, we can cut them chains all one way or the other because they ain't got nowhere to hide. But they got to come out the darkness before you go to explain it to them, just like I find myself. Mm-hmm. Some would tell me and say, "Yeah, well, you doing it here, doing it." I said, "Well, I'm already hurt from this, and you just not starting, so don't keep doing it." And the better you get, the better I'm gonna get, cause I can't face you with this no more.
Right, amen.
So I mean, just don't be shame of if you saying you're a man, but if you still a child playing a child. This some hard time coming.
Oh yeah, that's true.
All right, thank you, Mr. Brown. We appreciate that very
Ms. Jackie
much.
Said, all right. It says also that for women out there who are being abused emotionally. 94% of the chance if a man is abusing you emotionally, then it will turn into a physical
domestic violence
abuse.
Right. And there's a lot of them out there. Now, you need to call this number. 1-877-464-2500. You want to maybe just spill your guts out. You don't have to say who you are, but, you know, just go ahead and talk. And we'll listen. Just call the number.
A lot of the women out there are not coming forward to say that they have been harmed or they have been hurt by the hands of their boyfriend, their spouses. They're keeping it, you know, sheltered and closed in. They're not coming forward and say this act of violence has been, you know, portrayed against me.
Right.
So
that's not from God.
It's not from God. If a man abuses you, if he's beating you, if he's abusing you, I don't care if he's doing it with words. Because sometimes even
words
wound
hit harder
you.
They
will scar you for life. They will break you and wound you for life. If you are experiencing that, you need to come forth and you need to get out of that relationship because it's not ordained by God.
Right. God wants you to live happy.
He wants you to be a happy
people here.
Right.
He don't want you hurt.
God didn't put women on earth to be going through all this.
The men have the problem, not you.
Well, I'm saying.
And that's what happens. It turns it around. Turn it around.
Men.
They
because they're
they
not
the
being
problem.
Trained. Men are not. I won't say all men. I say the majority of the men nowadays are not being. That's why I say the majority of the men, because I know
I'm a man.
There are good men out there who are training their sons to be godly role models to their families.
But on
the other side, there are men out there who are not taught how to treat women.
I agree. There's a lot of them out there. And if they read the Bible, then they would be trained.
They're not trained.
Chris Brown and Rihanna.
Exactly.
He saw his mother being beaten by his father all the time.
Right.
And as she said, you know, they used to say sticks and stones won't break my, but words won't. That's not true.
Right.
Because somebody can say something so cruel to you that you don't ever want to be in their presence again. You don't even want them to be a friend of yours.
You realize
the cruelty of their words.
Right.
And that's what I found in seeking this friend. Their words were too cold, too indifferent. I don't want to be a friend of theirs. I don't even want to be in their acquaintance. Because when you say words that cruel to somebody that was only seeking to be nice and loving and godly to you, you have a problem, and I can't solve your problem. I'm on a voyage myself, on a quest for truth.
Right.
I'm in the abyss of my mind.
It's true.
To say, what is truth? People have a way of, and you cannot really say some things that happened to you in your life. It says that all things, and I wasn't even a Christian.
Right.
I was in church, but I wasn't a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Some things I have totally avoided in my life because of what happened to me. I was very indifferent. In certain things I enjoyed, and I didn't. I became reclusive, and dived into safety. And then just when I was getting to the point that I thought that I could trust somebody, this man stuck a gun up to my head and threatened. He wasn't trying to kill me because of love. It was lust. And that's all that it was about. He couldn't track my movements. He didn't know what I was doing.
Oh,
he
yeah.
know that it was... It was no love between us.
Right.
And that's why I tell them all the time I was riding with a friend of mine. She said, just look at that prostitute. I said, every woman, married or unmarried, is a prostitute because it's a matter of geography. Mm-hmm. Whether you're doing it in your 5-bedroom house or you on the corner, it's still prostitution. Somebody's exchanging money for sex. So don't try to put the sister down. You don't know what brought her to that. You know, when you think that everything is safe and you can live in some comfort, I find it very, very hard to express how I feel to anybody. I talk to God a lot. I sit in my car and I can be in a car with 5 or 6 people and be inside of my mind comforting myself.
Right.
Because I have not met a fleshly man or woman on earth that I can trust like God, that knows all of the scar tissue that I have.
That's true.
And that they won't sell the rights to what somebody might know about me. I really don't even care, to tell you the truth. My spirit and my flesh and my beings have been tortured so much. You could do anything you like. It won't bother me because I went to God in brokenness.
Right.
I went to God to say I just can't handle. When they said to me that your son is going to die, and immediately in a situation like that, everything runs into your mind to think about all the things that you should have done and you didn't do. And I made a promise that day, and I haven't broken that promise. To say, if you let him live, I'll live for you. And I haven't broken that promise. And no man on earth or woman on earth is ever going to make me break that promise. But I don't care how sanctified you are. I don't care how holy you pretend to be. You can kneel to the east 5 times a day. You can pray in tongues 10 hours a day. We all have a dysfunction.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my dysfunction might be that I can't trust anybody, that I'm indifference as far as, but everybody got a dysfunction. God didn't make anybody perfect.
Nobody.
Everybody got a dysfunction.
Everybody got a problem, right?
Well it's a dysfunction.
First Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Look what it says. Likewise, ye husbands. We're going to pick on the husbands, of course. Dwell with them according to knowledge. He's talking about the wife. Giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Right. That your prayers, and I like that,
right,
be not hindered.
Right.
So,
right,
you know, you if you think you're going to have prayers that will go up before God and answer folks, and you and you're giving and giving problems to your wife, it's not going to happen, okay? It's just not going to happen. Maybe the devil might answer your prayers one way or the other and want, right, something in return, but, right, God is not going to answer your prayers and rewards and in blessings.
You know, that comes from the fact that women in the beginning of time and almost into the 18th century were considered property. We were just like a house or a car.
But it's
or
still
whatever
for this time. It is this time. We, husbands, honor your wives.
I'm right, saying, but back in the, right, time, if you
being
take
carried
the
on
atmosphere
now
that was, right, written, the times call for men to treat, and in some parts of the world that is uncivilized, they still treat women, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, property.
But they haven't read the Bible.
In the background of, okay, you're a Christian now. You've accepted Jesus Christ. And, right, even though the world is telling you, mm-hmm, that your wife is a piece of property, I'm telling you, if you don't honor her, I'm not going to honor you.
That's exactly
that's
right.
True.
That's
true.
Right. And that's where it's at in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7.
Your prayers will not be answered.
They
will not be answered.
So they need to find the Word of,
right,
God. Find it,
right,
there. You know, the Bible has the answer,
right,
to all of our problems.
Right.
Battered women problems,
that's
husband
true
problems, wife problems, children problems.
And when you said it cuts their supply of money off, it cuts, mm-hmm, their supply of being blessed,
exactly,
off.
Exactly.
They won't be promoted on their jobs. They will. Mm-hmm. They wonder why this ain't happening for them. It's because they not honoring that wife.
They're not honoring their wife. They need to honor their wife. And wife, of course,
they're
in turn,
blocking their
honor
blessing
their husband.
God trying to get something to them, but he can't get it to them because of the way they're treating their wife, which is the wick of Elsa.
You know, I look at 1 Peter, and I want to get to there, and I don't want to go far away from the topic of it. And I was,
right,
reading it,
right,
and it really hit me hard, because look at 1 Peter chapter 3, before 7. It says, likewise, ye wives, be subjection to your husband.
Right.
Now, people right off, the women are going haywire. Like, say, forget it. You, well, I'm not doing this. I'm not. Listen to what it says, though. Now,
right,
they take this out of context, okay?
Right.
But if you obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by their conversations of the wives. So the wives should be,
right,
around being subjection, doing their best again, not,
right,
letting them be beaten now, okay?
No,
we're not
that's
talking
different
about
that's different. That's different.
While they behold the chaste conversation coupled,
right,
with fear, okay? The husband's watching the wife and how she's behaving under God, and hopefully that he will come into that same subjection,
right,
unto God. Look, whose is adorning is not by our adorning, plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel. But let the hidden man, now what? But this is the thing I like. Now listen to this, woman, or and men. But let the hidden man of the heart, in which that is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek, now look at this, meek and quiet spirit.
Right.
Now it didn't mean that you have to be beaten up now.
Right.
But it says, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which,
right,
is in the sight of God, a great price.
It is.
Man,
it's precious to him.
It is so precious when
it's
you're able
to
work
him
together and
it,
say, okay,
and
husband, this
together
is how you want to. And
it,
husband
it
says, all right, let's talk
that's
about
right
it. You know,
that's
let's
right
see what we can come up with, you
right
know. Come agree together, you know.
Exactly.
Instead of
that's
fighting
a,
like cats and dogs and beating up
thing,
one another.
Because God didn't call the man to have to dominate his wife.
Exactly.
He called the man to love her.
Take authority, right?
Right, right.
Head of household.
Head of household.
All right. Not beating up the woman
not
and saying, you got
it. Because that's God's child. That's God's
that's
daughter.
Right. Exactly.
And he says in Genesis.
He loves
it. And
he loves
it.
Yeah.
Flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone.
Right.
You got to realize when you're hurting her, you're hurting yourself.
You mm-hmm sure are. You sure
when,
are.
When you speak, you know, it says that you'll reap what you sow. That's
you
in
do
every area.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's true.
Some of the prosperity preachers want to say it's money.
Right.
But if you treat a part, because that woman literally, if she
right
is your soulmate,
right,
when you hurt her, you're hurting yourself.
That's true.
When you, I remember a story when I was reading in this book, and these guys went to Jamaica on a man's vacation, mm-hmm, and the rest of the guys, they went out and they was having a ball and everything else. They said, come on, you know, she's thousands of miles away. He said, I can't hurt my friend.
I know that.
I would never be able to look at her again. I don't want to hurt her like that.
That's right.
And that's you need to marry your friend. You need to marry somebody that a marriage is going to have its stresses. It's going to have its ups and downs. But basically, adultery and fornication shouldn't be a part of that.
Right.
Because when you let somebody into that unbroken reign, it's broken, and it's going to eventually break the reign altogether. And too many men don't realize that maybe after two or three marriages, I had a family member, after two or three marriages, he came back to my aunt because he felt like he lost something in the effort of trying to do something else. And they lived together for 40 years after that happened. But it's all virtually impossible, if that's your soulmate,
it's true,
for you to do something to them like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says in adultery, love ends when the adultery begins.
True.
You cannot, if you love somebody, go and waddle like a dog with somebody else. And I've seen cases and watched it on TV where they wallet with other women, and women have AIDS,
you'll lose,
and they come back and they kill their wives.
Yeah, you'll just lose out. It's impossible to do that.
You cannot, if you truly, truly love somebody, you can't do that to them.
Right.
I don't believe.
The men will lose out. Or women, a woman. You know, a woman can do the same thing. Either way, you're going to lose out because God has set you up in that marriage and the covenant that you've made with God.
That's true.
And you know what? If you love one another, even the sex gets good.
It does.
All right, I'm serious. God is there. He said, okay, we're going to make things even better. But you have to obey God. All right? You have to love one another and honor one another. And, you know, most people think sex is dirty. It is not dirty. It is God that created that. He placed it in the marriage.
He does.
It's a good thing for you, all right?
It
brings you together. That's why when a man leaves his mother and father, he joins his wife, the Bible says, they become one.
That's right.
You know, and in that sexual relationship, they're one.
That's
and as Jackie said, you know, when you hurt the woman, you hurt yourself, and vice versa, you know, because they have become part of you. And even in that sexual relationship, it gets even better when you allow God
to be the center of it.
Right,
to be in the center of it.
Yeah.
Like they say, a threefold cord is
not easily broken.
It cannot be broken.
Because most women are looking for
somebody
sex.
That had been a prayer partner of mine sometimes back. So I was telling her, I talked to Reverend Kamusha, I said, and we're going to have to go a little farther on the subject because too many, I was really shocked at these men. I'm going to tell you, I really was shocked that they were expressing that they've lived a life without love because of the conditions that were put in. I was talking to her and her husband some maybe 12 years ago committed adultery. She stayed with him.
Right.
But you know, basically she was telling me this morning, and so many men don't realize she's become a machine.
Mm.
Oh, so you want sex? I'm going to deliver it. It's not making love anymore. It's
sex.
That's what it is.
And basically what she was saying to me, Jackie, I just don't want to hear it. I'm comfortable in my misery. And, you know, whatever life we live and the life that we live till we die.
Right.
But this is a confessing Christian. And that disturbed
me. Oh, yes.
That deep down, even though, you know, we as women are seed bearers.
Right.
And it for years and years, and Reverend Kamusha had that show on abortion. Mm-hmm. And all of that started coming back up again. And then God was dealing with me. I said, I'm not going to do it. But you got to realize, even though you are a practicing Christian, the seed that festered in you, the seed of that perpetrator, I don't care how long ago it happened.
That's right.
Until you can bring it up out into an open light.
Oh yes.
Satan keeps it in darkness.
He does.
And he years for years and years he's tried to force me. I said, I don't want to talk about that, Poppy. I don't want to talk about that. When I talk about that, my guts hurt.
Right.
But he forced me to the last 10 minutes of that program. Last Thursday, it's time to talk about it. It just oozed out of my mouth. I didn't want to talk about it. Right. But I can tell you, I'm free. Yeah. I'm free.
I'm free.
Jesus' name. Right. In Jesus' name.
Hello, how are you?
Yes.
You might have.
I have a question regarding my marriage, Reverend Kamush. How is Pa Jacobs?
We're doing good. We're talking about battering women and how it relates to the Bible. Again, how they should be more open and how they should, of course, go to the Bible, first of all, and how men should honor their women and honor their wives as well.
Some women are scapegoats.
Uh-huh. They're goats.
They keep coming back to that joker. You know what I mean now?
Do what?
They keep coming back. Right here, and Alexander, he don't pull the gun on his wife a while back and shot at her, but she missed the bullet. Can you believe she went back to him? And whenever he really killed her, then it will be too late. Sometimes, see, it is worth it for you to marry the woman you love. It's not worth it for you to love the woman you marry. You see what I mean now? People want to play games, but then when it comes to marriage, then problems start happening. If it comes to where the life is in danger, it's time to depart. That's right. All I can tell you.
Right, right.
Because everybody has a purpose in life.
That's right.
And if God has a purpose for you, the devil will find a way to ruin your purpose. He can use your man to ruin it. He can use your woman to ruin it. But it's to you. Whether you want, whatever God wants to use you for as a blessing to the world, if you want man or woman to ruin it, then you have to give an account to God. Don't let nobody ruin the purpose that God gave you to fulfill in life.
Right.
I came to America to preach the gospel, and I won't let nothing stop me. So I won't let HIV, fooling around, and catching all kind of disease stop me from fulfilling my purpose.
Uh-huh.
That's all I can tell you.
Well, good. So what do you got to tell these battered women who are running away? He's out of wife. He doesn't have a
because,
wife.
Because you don't you don't think you can serve God with a wife.
Mm-hmm. You think
you can serve God with anything.
Uh huh.
But you have to pray.
Uh-huh.
People are getting married without praying.
Uh-huh.
The Bible says do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
He right about
that's what got Samson in trouble. He woke up in the devil's barbershop.
Uh-huh.
And Delilah caught his hair, you good too. See, you cannot sleep in the bosom of Abraham, sleeping with Delilah in bed. So you have to hear from
there's a lot of Delilahs out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You can't sleep in the lap of Delilah and go to the bosom of Jesus Christ.
I think that's what he said.
No, no cross, no crown.
That's true.
There's a lot of hurting people out there,
and
I would hope that they would be more obtuse just to confess, to bring it forward. It makes you feel a whole lot better when you talk to somebody. Nobody needs to know who you are, what you
don't
want to
talk about it, you need to say.
Right.
God, release me from darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got children that have been molested when they were children.
Oh, yeah.
That demon seed is still in them.
Right.
Until either they're old enough to confess, if you're their mother or their father, lay hands on them.
Right.
And ask the Lord to release them from
Jesus
that seed
name.
If you are aware of that.
That's right.
Because anywhere a devil goes, he leaves a seed.
True.
And that seed will destroy you, because if it stays in you long enough, it becomes indifference,
right. Like
it did in me until I went into a life of almost extraordinary reclusiveness.
Right.
But until the day, and you can be tongue-talking, you can be sanctified, holy, and everything else, but a seed anywhere, a devilish seed, until you release it by faith, until somebody lays hands on you to demand it to leave,
and get out.
It's going the highest anarchy of a demon seed is to possess a body.
That's true.
And you have to, I don't care if anything has happened to you, the seed of generations have come down. Men have beat women that came out of a generational curse.
That's what it is.
Men that rape women that have come out of a generational curse.
Mm-hmm.
But there it says in the written word that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse any sin.
Oh, yeah.
It will break any generational curse.
Right.
So if you don't know nothing else, if you're living in darkness and you didn't want to talk about it.
Right.
And I don't blame you. It's a hard thing to do.
It is.
The violation of it all comes back. But say.
Thank you for being our guest today on the Prayer Power Live Talk Show. We hope your comment, opinion, express, enhance, enlighten, and deepen your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. As God's servants, we should daily seek a personal and loving relationship with Him through prayer and His reading of His Word. Even though our opinions and views are different, our united mission should be to lead others to Christ so that we all may live in eternal peace with our Lord. The views and opinions expressed on the Prayer Power Live Talk Show are not those of KAYT 88.1. To contact Reverend Carmouche for future topics or suggestions, or if you need prayer, you may call Reverend Carmouche at 318-715-3174 or 318-715-3184 or email Reverend Carmouche at theprayerpower@cricket.net. To purchase a CD of this program or make a donation, write Reverend Carmouche at P.O. Box 11782, Alexandria,